Thanks for listening to Sunday Night's Main Event. If you'd like to help support the show, visit patreon.com/snmeradio.
The following program is an MLWRadio.com production.
And all of these neurologists, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared.
This is Sunday Night's Main Event.
In clear violation of the law.
With Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
I'm not finished with you!
It's one of the WWE's Big Four pay-per-view weekends, but did it live up to expectations? Well, for the next 2 hours, you're going to call in and let us know. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Survivor Series edition of Sunday Night's Main Event from Coast to Coast, Canada's premier wrestling radio show, coming at you live on TSN Radio. I'm Jason Agnew. Tonight, I'm joined by Dan the Mouth Levransky to review what was a complicated week, followed by a very busy weekend in the WWE. Did Survivor Series live up to your expectations? Or did you watch it and wish it was War Games all over again? Tonight, we're here to get your thoughts on the show, so write down the number and use it. It's 1-866-729-2562. That's 1-866-729-2562 at SNME Radio on Twitter and find the Facebook group at SNME Radio. Plus, we've got Turnbuckle Trivia, The Wrestling Observer Insider with Dave Meltzer, all of that to come. We're going to take a break and be right back to Rundown WWE Survivor Series. You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.
And Ronda Rousey is still helpless. She's still defenseless. She's been beaten up by Charlotte, and now Charlotte has a steel chair.
Oh, my
She's
God!
Oh, no.
Injury. Ronda Rousey.
Enough is enough. Ronda Rousey's career.
Enough is enough, Charlotte. Rousey's neck is trapped inside the steel chair.
Someone's got to stop this.
Ronda can't even defend herself.
Welcome back. That was an angle tonight with a match that was set up oh so recently.
Oh,
Mouth.
So recently. Yes, indeed.
It was not Becky Lynch tonight versus Ronda Rousey. It was Charlotte Flair and Ronda Rousey, a match that had been pretty much scheduled for WrestleMania, but things had to all get topsy-turvy as Monday night Nia Jax accidentally punched Becky Lynch right in the face in the middle of a brawl, gave her a concussion, and a busted
her face. Yeah,
oh,
broke her face.
Goodness.
Broke her face.
A concussion and a broken nose. What's wrong with saying a broken nose and a concussion,
Mouth? You got me. I have no idea why they had to go that route. I have no idea.
Tonight, we're going to get into all the craziness that happened on the show. But before we step in, Mouth, all of this happened this week. And walking into this show tonight, what were your thoughts with the changes that were made and modified here with the injury and then subsequently on SmackDown, the flip-flop with AJ and Daniel Bryan?
Well, it was a mixture, Jay, because, you know, I was definitely interested in what we were going to see, but at the same time, it really made it even more intriguing when they flipped it like this, because you never know what's going to happen when they're forced to be put in a situation and how they're going to react to it. So part of me was upset that I wasn't going to see AJ and Brock again, because I was really looking forward to that. I wanted to see the rematch from Survivor Series last year. But at the same time, having Bryan put in the place, although I didn't exactly like how they got there, I thought that would be, okay, that's a very interesting, and let's see how they work with that in terms of what they do. And plus, because you have this pay-per-view where it's Raw and SmackDown interacting, how are they going to keep things interesting when you can't really go back to these stories after tonight?
Yeah, and I know you had some thoughts about that towards the end of this tonight.
Yes, we'll talk about that.
Myself going in, they were forced to do the Charlotte swap,
right,
and it could work out very nicely for Becky at WrestleMania. And I was curious to see what they did with Charlotte and Ronda. Again, disappointed I'm not seeing Becky, because obviously Becky's the hottest character.
Yes.
Becky is the hottest character in the company, period.
Yes, absolutely.
Just period. Men, women, animals,
doesn't
whatever.
Matter. No.
Hotter than Cody's dog.
Yes.
And along with that, the Daniel Bryan situation, listen, this is a match that I've wanted to see for a while, and Bryan's wanted to do for a while. The only thing that took me away and out of this match was the fact I would have preferred that there be a build towards the match.
Well, of course.
And I also would have preferred Daniel Bryan to be a babyface for this match. And I think what we saw happen tonight, if Daniel Bryan had been a babyface, this match is 10 times more over than what actually transpired.
Yeah, I think so. I found that very weird as well, why they felt they needed to go in that direction, because you already have Brock as your heel. Like, why did I don't understand why they felt they needed to switch Bryan up for this. I mean, it was something different for sure, but it wasn't really needed. And I agree. If it had been more clear cut that he was the babyface, I think the match would have been more successful.
So tonight, it's one of the big four for WWE, which means it's a big six as far as time goes. It's a six
exactly.
hour show, 5.5 hour show, because they did end at about 10:30 or so. But if you include the pre-show, that's what you're getting.
Enough.
Mouth and I were here at 5 o'clock
Eastern.
It's
long enough, yeah.
Anyhow, not complaining, just stating the facts. And the pre-show tonight, they made some more switches. More switches on the pre-show. Natalya and Ruby Riott get into a scuffle in the dressing room, and Team Captain Alexa Bliss says that if they can't get along, they're not going to be on the team. An hour later, we get a vignette of Naomi backstage telling everyone she's the new captain, and the fifth member of the team is R-Truth, which of course is a joke and would be a running joke tonight.
Yeah.
Then she announces Mandy Rose. Why they didn't just do this on SmackDown is beyond me.
I know. And the thing with Natty and that, it wasn't even like it was a major brawl.
No.
They were just kind of yelling at each other. I'm like, that wasn't really enough to take them both off the team.
Then the most interesting thing on the pre-show was this. A vignette for Lars Sullivan.
Yes! They showed it twice. They showed it twice, and it said coming soon. So,
but no brand.
No, it did not give a brand, but obviously he's coming up to one of them, I would assume, this week sometime, I would assume.
Or we just get vignettes on the brand he's coming up to at a certain point. The New Day's in the ring to kick off the tag team match. They kill a whole bunch of time doing all the introductions. So it's your tag team Survivor Series match that eventually we find out doesn't count for anything.
No, this was, and I'm glad you brought that up. Because,
right away.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because that was one of my big problems going into this show, regardless of what the matches are and changes, whatever. Why can't, if you're going to do this Raw versus SmackDown thing, why can't it be worth something? Even if it was something small, like...
I don't mean that. I mean that this didn't count against the score.
I know, okay. But I wanted to set it up by saying this as well first, because...
Yeah, stakes.
One of the things that bothers me so much is there's no stakes, and it makes it boring, and after this show is done, everything just goes back to normal. And they had this opening tag team Survivor Series match. SmackDown side won, and then it was ignored despite whatever Graves would say. He would always bring it up. They ignored it for the rest of the show. As you will see, Raw dominated, and this match did not count at all, and it was really weird on a show where there's no stakes. It's bad enough. And then if you're going to keep score, the first match that you do doesn't mean anything. It was absolutely ridiculous.
So the SmackDown teams are Usos, Good Brothers, New Day, Sanity, and the Colognes. Mouth, it was the Colognes that we couldn't figure out in our bet.
That's
which,
right.
There's so many changes, by the way. We're not even following through on the six-pack challenge.
Unfortunately
just there's
not.
So many changes.
Yeah, they got it all mixed up.
Raw is a Rude and Gable, B-Team Ascension, Lucha House Party Revival. We don't have to get into the match. It doesn't mean all that much.
Not
but it came
really.
Down to Revival and Rude and Gable
Usos.
Versus New Day and the Usos.
Yeah.
And Chad Gable does a crazy rolling German suplex to Big E. I mean, imagine how much strength it takes to move Big E around, which Rude compliments with the neck breaker. Incredible strength there. They only get a near fall on that. Everyone dives to the outside, including Big E's patented dive through the second rope. They get crazy here.
Yes, yeah.
And then Gable does a German suplex off the top rope to the outside, holding Jey Uso and tossing him into everyone. Absolutely insane. We have Gable and Rude eliminated by the New Day. And then the New Day is eliminated after Xavier gets caught in the shatter machine while coming off the top rope.
Yep.
That leaves only the Revival and the Usos.
Yep.
And the Revival put up a good fight and get a near fall after a suplex and top rope splash combo. But ultimately, the Usos end up with the victory when Scott Dawson is pinned. And really, I mean, the team that is soaring above the rest here and still hot is the Usos. Gable and Rude had a good showing. But you kind of knew this was going to smash SmackDown way, because there was nothing on the Raw side as far as teams went here.
No, exactly. The only good thing about it was we did get to see the Revival go to the end of the match, right? Instead of being eliminated right out of the gate like the Primo and Epico were, which was fine anyway, since we don't see them anyways. But, I mean, it was an okay match, and it was actually the only match, even though it didn't count, it was the only match that SmackDown won all night.
Alexa is with her team in the dressing room. Natalya and Ruby have been officially thrown off. She reveals Bayley and Sasha as their two replacements, and then they say they're not there to help Alexa, but they're here for Raw.
This is another one, like, why didn't you just do it on the TV? Like, why weren't Sasha and Bayley just in from the start?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know, Mouth. It did not make sense. Women's elimination match kicks off the pay-per-view portion of the broadcast. This is when the match is counting the scores. Throwing it out there. Raw's captain is Alexa Bliss. She, of course, cannot wrestle. She's still suffering from concussion issues. Mickey, Nia, Tamina, Sasha, Bayley is her team versus SmackDown. And it's Captain Naomi who is in the match with Asuka, Carmella, Sonya Deville, and Mandy Rose. The crowd hates Nia Jax,
yes.
Mouse.
Yes, well, after what she took out their favorite. As you said, she's the hottest. Becky is the hottest star right now. Nia's the one that took her out. Legit, and fans know these things nowadays. These things aren't hidden from the public. The fans know when something goes wrong, and when their biggest favorite gets taken out by Nia. They don't care if it's storyline or not. They're upset.
Now, having said that, though, did you enjoy, because you saw the tweets tonight, actually, with Nia putting out, "No one's asked about my hand." I mean, I think what she's doing is clever, and I think the way they're taking advantage of it, because she ultimately comes out winning this, is also clever. However, it's the promotion of someone who's making a mistake and, on top of that, has the track record
of doing it before. Yes.
She is the female Ahmed Johnson.
Yes, good comparison. Yeah, no, you're right. It is kind of a weird situation because I agree. I like the fact that Nia came out and she was like, you know, showing her hand off and rubbing her knuckles and definitely playing it up. But that's true. It's not really the smartest thing to reward people for hurting other people on the roster. But you know what? We've seen this kind of thing happened countless times before in wrestling. It's not like it's a real surprise.
So as far as the eliminations go, Naomi's gone, and then Tamina's gone. There's a dance break after that because Carmella's the one who rolled up Tamina. Nia gets in, and Cole continually refers to her as hashtag facebreaker.
Yes.
Boo. I boo that hashtag. When Asuka and Mickey face off, Cole's really off in this match. Because he says, this is the match that people want to see, and this is where you get it at Survivor Series. Like, it's never happened before. This was Mickey's comeback and return to the company at Survivor Series 2 years ago here in Toronto when Trish couldn't do it because she was pregnant.
Right.
So continuing on, Mickey's eliminated by Mandy, Carmella by Bayley, Mandy by Sasha. The match really, really lags here because Deville is in the ring forever, Mouth.
The whole thing. And I thought this was weird, too, for a Survivor Series match to do a spot where both Bayley and Sonya were on the outside, and they actually got counted out. So they both got eliminated at the same time, which I thought was kind of weird. That left Jax and Banks and Asuka. Nia pushed Banks off the top rope, and then Asuka got the Banks. Got Banks with her Asuka lock, and the Banks tapped out, and that left Jax and Asuka and Nia pinned her quite quickly after that, actually. And so Jax ends up becoming the sole survivor for her team and winning it for the Raw side in a pattern that would carry on throughout the night.
It would. So, of course, I mean, you have Jax set up here on the Raw side with Ronda. That looks like where they're going. But also, you now have a program with Sasha here as well because she did push Sasha off the top rope in order to gain the advantage. Continuing on, Nia is a sole survivor. There we go to a vignette with Steph and Baron. They praise the victory for Raw. Steph says that if Baron wants to be permanent GM, Raw needs to sweep the show tonight, not including the pre-show. And then Shane and Paige show up. Baron makes fun of AJ and Becky being at home, and Shane says Baron will be fired after tonight. Guess what? Baron is your new GM because they swept. They opt to switch announce teams here, so Tom and Byron show up, and Corey's still there. And it's the UK title match. The US title and the IC title.
Yes.
The two champions. It's Nakamura versus Seth Rollins. I spent this whole match waiting for Dean Ambrose. I did not get him. This was a 20-minute match. You did not like this, from what I learned from the other side of the room.
I'm always looking for Nakamura to have that match that's going to really put him over, and I thought it might happen with this one with Seth, and they did try. I mean, Nakamura did dominate a lot of the early going in the match, but honestly, I just found that the match never really clicked. I thought it was like 22 minutes long. I thought it really, really dragged. The crowd did not really seem to be into it. I mean, they bit on some of the near falls, like Rollins doing a superplex and a Falcon Arrow and stuff like that, but they didn't really get into the match the way I felt they should get into it. The finish, Rollins got the face stomp, and then he pinned Nakamura. Raw wins another one, and I thought these two would have a much more exciting match, and to me, it just kind of really, really, really dragged. I thought it was too long and really not very exciting at all.
Nakamura, Shinsuke Nakamura, is a mid-carder.
I know. Yeah,
right?
I know. Yeah.
Did you ever predict that?
No, of course not. No.
But after this, a clean job to Seth Rollins. Well, granted, it is Seth Rollins. There's no stakes, but it's a clean job.
And that's the thing we've talked about. I mean, in the preview, you and I talked about how much Nakamura needs that good, big, strong win. And I thought this might be the place where he finally gets it to make, you know, have the Raw SmackDown thing kind of go back and forth instead of being like a skunking, which is what it was, except for the match that was ignored.
Yeah, but, you know, I actually had some people write me during the show and say, it was at least different because normally you do have the back and forth and you're expecting a back and forth. So this was definitely different as far as the way it went.
Okay.
Now, on the flip side,
different is not always good.
On the flip side, you're trying to build SmackDown to a property that is going on to network television.
That's right. It's changing networks very soon. You want it to be strong. And it makes them look ridiculous. They don't get anything.
Braun is in his dressing room with his team, says he doesn't like any of them. He doesn't know who Lio Rush is, which is kind of funny. Says Balor's okay, but he better pull his weight tonight. McIntyre confronts him, says he should be the one making this speech because he's the one that broke the Shield. Corbin shows up, says Braun is a meathead and can't touch him. Braun tosses Lio Rush into him instead. There's a scuffle. R-Truth shows up, as continues this gimmick. Everyone is confused and tells him to leave. And that is your vignette for the Raw side of things there. The tag team match is next. Your champions versus champions. The Bar, Sheamus, Cesaro with Big Show versus Authors of Pain with Drake Maverick. As I'm reading this now, because you know what, Mouth? I left the pay-per-view only really remembering the last two matches. I had forgotten what happened in this piece of garbage.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this one turned out the way I thought, and I actually liked the fact that the Authors of Pain got the win. I felt that's what needed to happen in this match. But they did this really ridiculous spot in it partway through where Big Show came out there, and he grabbed Drake, and he had him up at the ringside, and he put him up on the apron, and the idea was that Drake was so scared that he peed himself. And it's just like, oh, the return of people peeing themselves. I guess Vince feels we haven't seen that in a while, I guess. So
when was the last time someone peed themselves? Yeah, was it Steve Austin? Was it Steve Austin when he put the fake gun to Vince McMahon's head?
Long ago? I just have this weird feeling that we've seen it since then.
I don't know. Steven Regal peed on the Big Show at one point, I think.
The thing is, Vince loves that kind of stuff. Oh. So I thought it was really, really stupid. I think the most interesting story to come out of this match, because again, the Authors of Pain got the win, but again, the crowd didn't really seem to care about this match at all. That we had the silly pee spot. I think the most interesting thing is what happened in the crowd during this match with Enzo Amore being at the show live, apparently wearing a disguise and getting up after this match and cutting a promo in the crowd until he was actually taken out by security, which was very weird. We actually saw some of the video of this.
Yeah.
Some fan actually got some footage while this was happening, and he was escorted out.
He was. This was not shown on WWE TV, but of course we're monitoring Twitter, and it went all over the place. So Enzo showed up and did this. Made him look real thirsty. Like, real sad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, for sure. It's definitely a desperation kind of move. That's for sure. But
why bother? Like, why do this? So weird.
Yeah.
There is a vignette. Miz is with his team. He's got a great speech lined up, but wants Shane to do the speech instead. Shane speaks. Miz then repeats everything Shane says, basically. Truth then shows up for another comedy spot, asking to be on the SmackDown roster, and is told he already is. The fish out of water match.
Yes.
205 live match in the middle. Mustafa Ali versus Buddy Murphy. These guys had a good match, but it was just so completely out of place.
Yes.
From an entire storyline that was taking place on this show, that they did get some "this is awesome" chance, but regardless, I could not dig into it because it was just such a removal from everything else.
This should have either been on the pre-show or maybe perhaps the opening match of the show, but I think, yeah, placed in the middle of the show like this, exactly, it kind of gets lost. I'm guessing a lot of people at the event might have used this as their bathroom break. I didn't really mind the match that much. There were a couple of spots where I thought poor Buddy Murphy was landing on his head maybe one too many times, because Mustafa did this reverse Frankensteiner that planted Buddy right on his head. And he also did the Spanish fly off the desk to the floor.
That was nuts.
Yeah, that was a pretty crazy spot as well. But Buddy Murphy did end up getting the Murphy's Law on Ali for the pin, so he retains the Cruiserweight title. But yeah, not a bad match, but crowd didn't get into it. And as Jay said, really placed in an awkward spot on the show.
There is a vignette. Kayla is backstage. She's trying to speak with Daniel Bryan about facing Lesnar with very little prep. He just walks by her without saying anything. We get into the Raw Survivor Series match, and I like this going here because I'm already on the whole kick of, well, if they're doing this thing with Corbin where Corbin's got to sweep in order to maintain the GM position, I figured that this might go close. Well, it is close to the end, but until this match happens, Corbin can't blow it, right? Mm. So they're going to continue on because ultimately Corbin has to fail for himself is what I thought was going to happen. I was positive going into this that Corbin would screw up for his team as the captain. And I was also positive that Shane McMahon was walking out of this as the sole survivor, right, to continue to become the crazy man that thinks he's the best in the world. Well, I was wrong on both of those things. They tease immediately. Oh, so your teams are Team Raw, Strowman, McIntyre, Ziggler, Balor, and Lashley with Captain Baron Corbin. And the SmackDown is Shane, Miz, Mysterio, Joe, and Jeff Hardy. They tease immediate dissension of the Raw team, and Braun starts, but McIntyre tags himself in to start versus Joe. Joe locks in the Coquina clutch from behind, ends up getting a Claymore in the face, and Samoa Joe
eliminated.
Gets Nakamura'd here.
Yes, eliminated
30 seconds.
Yeah, it was absolutely ridiculous and a total waste of Samoa Joe. I mean, that's obvious now that the Rocket has been attached to McIntyre and that he's going to be kind of the replacement for Roman Reigns, I think. And this just shows it right here how much they're putting in it just to have Joe job out to him that quickly.
Like, why wasn't that Jeff Hardy? Why Samoa Joe?
No,
I think they wanted the like a combined babyface team, and Joe was definitely the odd man out here.
Yes, well, he
but
was.
For the good and keeping Joe strong, he's just such a good character.
Yeah.
He's so strong. His promos are amazing. He's
His
great in the
is
ring.
Always a good,
His
exactly.
match, like yeah. everything about this guy
you
is
know,
great.
It's interesting after seeing this happen, if you go back to the vignette they showed earlier SmackDown, and Joe was just kind of
sitting there
in the corner with a really nasty look on his face because they had just came in and told him what was going to happen in the match. I don't think he was too happy. So that was the first big surprise in that match, having Joe get eliminated instantly like that. And as Jay said, they kept teasing between McIntyre and Strowman all through it after they're trying to go after each other. Of course, Shane had to have his big spot. Shane's got to have his big spot in the show. So he put Strowman on the announce table at one point, of course, and did his elbow from off the top rope over to the announce desk. I hate it. I absolutely hate that.
Well, what was interesting here, though, Mouth, is they're clearly working towards Shane and Miz. And here's what happened. So Balor's pinned by Mysterio, and Dolph is out by Shane after he does a coast-to-coast. But Miz starts coaxing Shane to do more big moves.
They did that throughout the match, yes.
He then gets Shane to do another coast-to-coast when Lashley's in the corner, but Strowman bats Shane out of the air. You had to enjoy that.
I did enjoy the big clothesline he took from Strowman there. Yes, indeed.
Hardy's eliminated by Strowman. Ray's eliminated by Strowman. Yep. Shane at this is half dead. Miz is up on the apron, and Strowman's in the ring. So Miz goes outside to get Shane, and Strowman just runs over Shane at ringside. You had to enjoy that as well, Mouth.
Yes, indeed.
Every time Shane got destroyed, I just looked over. I'm like, uh-huh. Yeah, Mouth is enjoying this now. It was pretty funny. Miz is eliminated by Strowman, and you were still, at this point, thinking, Shane's taking them all out.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it didn't happen, but Shane still ended up being the only guy on the SmackDown team, even though he gets pinned by Strowman and his side. So what was it, Strowman, McIntyre?
And Lashley were still in there.
Lashley were all left, yeah. And Shane was the one guy left on the SmackDown side, but he did get pinned. So they didn't win the match, but he had enough in there. He shouldn't have even been in the match in the first place, So
after the match, Corbin attacks Strowman before running away with Lashley and McIntyre on the ramp. So really, it was funny because SmackDown seemed like a bit of a non-factor here and was all playing the Raw storyline.
It was kind of the idea that the Raw team had all this dissension and this idea that Corbin could go after him as soon as the match was done, right?
Yep.
So yeah.
Big focus on Raw, very little on SmackDown here.
Very true.
Charlie is with Seth and she tells him that he'll be defending his title against Dean Ambrose at TLC. And that leads us into the Raw champion Ronda Rousey versus the SmackDown champion Charlotte Flair. There are mixed reactions to both women when they're introduced here. And immediately, there's a Becky chant to start this match.
Yep.
Ronda's got new gear. I'm going to say, because we always complain about her gear.
Okay.
Her gear did look much better today.
Yeah.
Red and white. Piper-esque, but it was at least printed as opposed to just black tights that you'd wear at a gym.
Yes.
Mouth, this match was the match of the night.
Yes, I agree.
It was absolutely excellent.
It almost felt like something different from everything else. It felt like a real contest. It felt like a real fight. Both ladies, Charlotte has some of the best facials. She's really great at selling the intensity of it and selling the anguish. And I thought Ronda also did a really good job when it came to facials and stuff like that. And the two of them worked out a fairly strong match. And there was a couple of things that happened on the fly that also added to it. Like, there was one point where Flair bounced Ronda's face off the bottom turnbuckle, and after that, Ronda was bleeding from the mouth, and I'm not sure if it was from that spot or from an elbow as well, but somehow Ronda got busted open, so she's bleeding out of the mouth. They did this great story where Ronda, is constantly trying to get the armbar on her, and the crowd really got into the match, but exact opposite of what you would think they would do, because Flair was acting like a total heel in this match. In fact, the match ends when Charlotte gets a kendo stick and she just corks Ronda with it, and the referee DQs her, and then after that she went wild, and I mean crazy, with the kendo stick. She must have hit her like 15 times. She gave her the natural selection on a chair, and she took that chair, she put Ronda's head in it, she stomped on it, she beat up a ton of referees. And what did the crowd chant? Thank you, Charlotte.
Thank you, Charlotte.
And it was obvious that the crowd didn't like Ronda, and they really liked Charlotte. And it was, the announcers tried their best to put Charlotte over as the heel, but the crowd totally cheered for her. And they were actually booing Ronda at the end. And it looked to me like Ronda was not too happy as she was walking up the ramp after that match. So it was a fascinating study of how people take the things. And it's like, Becky's not there, so Charlotte's in Becky's place, so they cheered for her, they booed Ronda. The match itself, I love, though. I thought the match was really great, and I thought both girls worked super hard, and I liked the way it stood out from anything else on the show.
I thought they did a good job in trying to play up the armbar versus the figure four in certain spots. I thought that there was a great spear by Charlotte in the middle of it, and she got a near fall, and I actually bit on it, and it's rare that I'll do that and think, like, wait, are they ending it here? Along with that, now, as far as the reaction goes, I'm not completely surprised, because, remember, Ronda feels like the chosen one. Ronda's the one that WWE has a lot invested in. I'm not saying that Charlotte doesn't, right? But it's less than Ronda. It's more than Becky, but less than Ronda. Ronda has been pushed to try to be the Stone Cold Steve Austin female.
Yeah.
Becky is that by way of how she carries herself how this character has developed. So, yes, with Becky gone, Charlotte here. Now, originally, when she pulled out that kendo stick, both of us were like, oh, come on. Like, this was a great match. This is a bad finish. But then she just kept going, and she changed my opinion on it. What I believe this is, yes, it could very well be headed to Becky and Ronda at WrestleMania. That is now what is apparently in the plans. But by doing something like this, with Charlotte beating down Ronda so badly, this feud is not done.
No,
this match is still in store as well.
That's actually the one part about it that kind of upsets me, is that we can't, we might see it down the line, but we're going to have to wait for a show like, I guess, the Rumble or Mania before we can see anything, because they're on different brands. And that's one of the problems sometimes, is that this really created something great, and I think the fans would like to see it maybe play out a little bit more, but that's the thing. It'll have to go back to what they were doing with Becky and Nia and all that kind of stuff. So
your world champion, Daniel Bryan, versus your universal champion, Brock Lesnar. Bryan comes out to the ring in this main event. He does some yes chants, but stops abruptly to upset the crowd. Brock gets down to the ring, and Bryan starts taunting him. Brock finally catches Daniel Bryan and smashes him once, and that has prompted me to send out my tweet of, this will not be good for Daniel Bryan's brain.
No, no, definitely not. He gave him some wicked shots to the head, too. I liked how Bryan was doing the Larry Zbysko kind of stalling at the beginning, which is kind of a classic heel thing. So he was definitely trying to get to be perceived as the heel in this match. It was very interesting. They did a really old-school bear hug spot where Brock had him in a bear hug forever. I was like, I thought I was watching Bruno Sammartino once again. Brock got an F5, knocked out the referee. Jay called it before it actually even happened. It was so obvious where the referee was placed that he was going to get hit from Bryan coming off of Brock there. And then, of course, while the referee was out of the way, Bryan did the low blow once again, got the flying knee, almost pinned Brock. Brock tried to use the stairs at one point, of course. Bryan got another running knee for a near ball, and he got the yes lock on for a long time. I mean, a long time. I almost thought he was going to win and Brock was going to tap, but Brock did get out of it eventually and got another F5 and got the win. So Brock Lesnar wins this one. And if we ignore the pregame show match, Raw wins. They skunked him completely.
Just imagine this match, though, if Daniel Bryan was a babyface. How insane it would have been.
Yeah, it's true. And it really makes you wonder why they did what they did on SmackDown this week. Because why did you feel you needed to do that? Because that's it. He's already a super strong babyface. Brock is the heel that nobody likes, because they've pushed this whole angle of he's never around and he's, you know, he's only comes to defend the belt once in a while. So I'm not really sure why they felt, because I think that kind of messed up the match. I think it would have had a better reaction if they had just left him as a babyface.
We've got a whole bunch more time to talk about this and want to hear your opinion. That is ours, but right now use your telephone and use it as an actual phone. 1-866-729-2562. Yeah, people normally just text. I mean,
call
you can
us.
Write in as well, but we are live tonight. Mouth is here. I'm here. 1-866-729-2562. Your voice can be here. We got a ton of calls after Evolution. With this one, did you love it? Did you hate it? We can talk War Games too, because you probably love that. It is Sunday night's main event, and you're listening to it right here on TSN Radio.
ProWrestlingTees.com. Over 3,000 wrestling t-shirts designed and sold by pro wrestlers. Wrestlers such as Steve Austin, CM Punk, Macho Man, Mick Foley, DDP, Andre the Giant, Jake the Snake, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Scott Hall, Ted DiBiase, Colt Cabana, Joey Ryan, Cliff Compton, and the entire Bullet Club. All stores owned by pro wrestlers. Support pro wrestling today and visit ProWrestlingTees.com.
This could be it for the Beast.
Brock Lesnar, though, able to power out of it. And now Daniel looking for a triangle.
Ryan's got it in. Daniel's shoulders are down, though. And now Daniel Bryan. Right hand, look at the power of Brock Lesnar. Into it, now Daniel Bryan up top. F5 to the champion. Lesnar rolls into the cover. Hook to the leg. Brock Lesnar wins.
I get no
Brock Lesnar wins once again. Going over Daniel Bryan tonight, it was the match that was modified. It was supposed to be AJ Styles, but it all got mixed up. Really, for what reason?
Yeah, it's true, because like the Becky one had the motivation of her getting hurt and stuff, but you're absolutely right. Why did they feel that they had to do this? And, you know, AJ having the big, huge, long title run and then just having it blown off like that on SmackDown, you could have really built that into something great where someone takes him and he builds up the record and somebody finally beats him. Instead, it's a second thought on a TV show.
I was so sure that AJ was going to hold on to that title longer than the CM Punk run, which I'm told, because I never looked into it, but people did say it's January is when it's supposed to happen. Mm. So, but apparently that's not going to happen. And listen, I guess if they're going to do a Raw SmackDown for the women's at WrestleMania, then what prevented doing Daniel Bryan against Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania? Because who's going to face Brock at WrestleMania? You know, he had been plotted in so many times over with Roman Reigns.
Yes.
Like, what do you do? Is it, interests you? Like, match is interesting for Brock?
Actually, the question is more, will Brock be there?
I guess
so. That's the question to me, I think, is like, because the way things are going, he's put himself in the drug pool for the USDA if he wants to return to UFC. So I'm wondering, is Brock even around at WrestleMania this year?
Let's remember, though, there is no contract yet with UFC.
Yes.
I mean, Meltzer keeps saying that. He's like, I'm going to believe it when I see it. It could just all be him playing up both sides in order to get a better contract. But, you know, Daniel Bryan versus Brock Lesnar is a match, as we saw tonight, was a fun match to watch.
Yes.
It was something different. It's something the fans wanted years ago. And yes, it was good tonight, but still, it felt like a bit of a throwaway. So what match is left for Lesnar at WrestleMania?
It's a tough
one. Telling me, like, Drew McIntyre? No, thank you. I'm not on the Drew McIntyre train. Am I the only one?
That could be where they're going, Jay, because it really, I mean, tonight, from the way he was booked in that match, man, it's obvious to me. Him, the fact that he took out Joe that quick, that means they've got big plans for him, I think. So it could very well be that.
Like Braun Strowman, we've seen already. You tell me, you send me a note or call in, send me a note on Twitter. What match at WrestleMania for Brock Lesnar is more compelling than Daniel Bryan and Brock Lesnar with a build? Because I don't have an answer to that.
No.
That is the most compelling match, and I feel that it was pretty much given away.
They don't always work towards what we might feel is the most compelling match. And again, we know how Vince is. When he gets set on somebody, it was, you know, Roman was the obvious example. When he gets set on someone, whether the fans want it or not, he wants that guy in that spot. He's going to push it whether we want it or not. And if he feels the same way about Drew McIntyre, we're going to see a repeat of what he did with Roman.
He is the re-chosen one now.
Yes.
Right?
Well, that's
he's already been the chosen one.
You're right, because when he originally came in all those years ago, that's how Vince acted. He was the chosen one. He started to push him too soon, and there was just backlash from the fans, and he left. And now he's a much more seasoned professional, and I think he's more deserving of some attention. But, yeah, you're right. They've already gone that way once. But, you know, this time we'll see. I think he's going to do it. I think it's obvious. It seems obvious to me that McIntyre is going to get special privilege for the next little while. He's got a push.
I think the only forgiving spot that the men are in at WrestleMania this year, where you don't necessarily need the giant main event, is because the women are main eventing.
Mm-hmm.
And the big spot and majority of the hype, I mean, there'll be other matches hype, but that main spot, the poster, is going to be Ronda and Becky or Ronda and Charlotte. One of the two.
Yeah.
And the men are playing second fiddle or to that. And you know, a lot of when they were aiming their mouth just a few weeks ago, it was kind of like, well, that's a nice sentiment. They're going to have the women in the main event, but let's face it, there's going to be some other match that is actually going to be the main event.
Right.
And then the women are going to get Jericho and Triple H at 18, right? There is no question in my mind, like right now, the hottest performers on the card are Ronda, Charlotte, and Becky.
Yeah, yeah.
Those are by far.
You know what I think might happen is a three-way.
It could, but it just takes away.
I agree. It does. It's always more focused, especially for a big show like that, to have a one-on-one. But I really could see them putting all three in that. And here's your match for Brock. Shane McMahon. They're just going to push Shane McMahon to the ceiling. And there you go. And he'll beat him, probably.
Okay. Let's go to... You know that match has been discussed, right?
Oh, I'm sure it has,
that match has been discussed.
I'm sure it has.
We joke, but it has been.
I'm sure it has.
Let's go to the phones, because that's what we are here to do. 1-866-729-2562. They are open for you to call on in and on the line right now. We'll go to Hanzi first. Hanzi, great seeing you on Friday night. What did you think about tonight?
Oh, yeah, it was good seeing you too, man. It was probably one of the better ones I've been to. I thought, first of all, I thought NXT War Games was so good. Everything was perfect about that. This, on the other hand, not so much. Especially, like, I was confused with the whole tag team. Like, I was screaming at my TV and like, why do we just want a tag team match if it doesn't count in the scoreboard? But I don't know. The only match I really really enjoyed was a Charlotte and Ronda and Daniel Bryan and Brock, because Brock Lesnar didn't even sell that much for Braun Strowman. He sold, you know, his ass off for Daniel Bryan. Like, I thought Daniel Bryan actually may have won. But, I don't know, the Survivor Series tag team match, I was hoping it would be more like 2016. Like, cause to me, the 2016 one that happened in Toronto, that men's match went an hour, and it was, like, one of the better actual matches that have existed in Survivor Series. But, like, this one was, like, similar to the last one, man. Just, like, wasted opportunity for anything cool to really happen. But I was wondering, before you guys let me go, with the Charlotte thing, do you guys anticipate that now that they got the heat on Charlotte, that now it's going to be Charlotte versus Ronda at WrestleMania, and then maybe Becky might be out, kind of?
Well, that's what I said, Hanzi. I mean, you know, that destruction with the cane and then with the chair left the door open for that. And they really did attach the rocket to Charlotte and leave that possibility open. Because I think walking into this was a bit of a make-good match, and a lot of people were disappointed at the fact that it's not Becky. Why do we care about Charlotte? But by doing this match, people care about Charlotte now.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, see, because I was in favor of Becky forfeiting her belt, and then she would have the Royal Rumble win, and she would go to Raw to face, Ronda. But now I'm thinking that, like, they might just do Ronda, a vendetta story with her actually forfeiting her belt and her actually winning the Rumble to face Charlotte. It makes sense if Ronda goes to SmackDown, because they want something big for the SmackDown, 2019 deal. And obviously tonight, a clean sweep is not going to really do it. So they need something big, obviously, right?
You want someone to forfeit their belt? You don't want a champion versus champion scenario happening?
Oh, well, I mean, that'd be cool. But, like, I'm just thinking, because they have a Women's Royal Rumble.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I guess that does change the game. So you can't necessarily do champion versus champion, which is... Geez, if that's the case, it's going to leave someone out in the cold. Or how about this, to go with Mouse three-way theory, you have the winner, whether it be, I guess it has to be Becky or Charlotte.
Yes.
And they challenge both of the champions.
Right, right.
You know, and do this cocky thing where they call them both out to continue on with what they're doing. Let's face it, everything could fall apart between now and WrestleMania.
That has been proven, right? Exactly. You know, the last month or so for WWE has been incredibly tough. I mean, we have to say, you know, we can sit here and crab all we want, but I mean, all that stuff with Roman totally messed up everything, and then, you know, they get to something set up nice with Becky, and now she's hurt, and that gets messed up. You know, there's been a lot of factors working against them, you know, besides just maybe the messed up booking as of late. So it's been really tough for them to get things to kind of stay in one direction, because so many other factors have messed with things.
Thanks for the call, Hanzi. Here's a message for us on Twitter. Someone came to my responded to my challenge of who should Brock take on at WrestleMania, and Henry says, "What are the odds that Daniel Cormier trains to WrestleMania and pulls a Lawrence Taylor to take on Brock at Mania. I mean, there was talk of him trying out for WWE or something. Okay, let me correct you there. The talk of Daniel Cormier trying out for WWE was as an announcer, and it was a suggestion by Fox because Fox really likes Daniel Cormier. And putting him into the WWE product, he could be an announcer on Fox. It wasn't necessarily talk of him jumping into the ring, but stranger things have happened.
Well, he says that he wants to be done fighting by the time he's 40, which is this March.
Yes.
So there you go, right around WrestleMania time.
Let's take a break. Come on back. Still taking your phone calls, 1-866-729-2562. Phone lines are open. Jeremy is fielding them, so get on it.
Yes, call.
Colin, what did you think? Because Survivor Series was looking pretty bad under those last two matches and definitely perked on up.
Yeah.
We'll continue talking about it, get into a bit of War Games as well. It's Sunday night's main event, and it's right here on TSN Radio.
If you're a fan of Sunday night's main event, check out WrestlingObserver.com, a daily podcast, multiple podcasts per day, with hosts Dave Meltzer, Brian Alvarez, and a number of others. You get a full library of podcasts dating back to 2005, over 9,000 shows, hundreds of back issues of Dave's Wrestling Observer newsletter dating back to 1991, and so much more. Don't miss out. Check it out today, WrestlingObserver.com.
Nia is enjoying every last second of it.
Samoan drop to the efforts of tomorrow. Cover by Nia Jax. In the irresistible force is the lone survivor.
I don't think she hurt anyone tonight.
Oh, hopefully. I mean, hopefully not. No, you're right. Hopefully not. Well, that's what I meant. Hopefully you're right.
Okay.
But, I mean, it's still early in the evening.
Yeah.
I mean, there could be somebody backstage icing themselves right now as we speak. You never know.
Very much torn. I mentioned this earlier in the show in regards to what they're doing here. Because, you know, on one hand, I love it. I love Nia saying, well, oh, but what about my hand? No one asked about my hand.
Yeah.
Like, that's ingenious
classic
to me.
Well, that's classic heel.
It's superb.
Yeah.
But also, she is more over as a heel now than she ever has been before.
Yes.
But it's such reality and such, you know, carelessness and danger that brought her to this position.
And you almost feel like that should be part of her thing, and we certainly don't want her walking around. Exactly. You don't want her walking around hurting people, but that's kind of what's brought this. People are buying her as a real heel now because she legitimately has hurt people.
And now you have her on the Raw side supposed to be going in there with Ronda Rousey. To me, right now, after this match, that's a heel-on-heel scenario.
Yeah.
Because
the way the crowd reacted, absolutely.
The way Ronda reacted, too. If you watch that last clip of Ronda going up the ramp, they gave you a real close-up on Ronda's face. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to me, it wasn't... The crowd, as they did that close-up, were not chanting, you know, Rousey. Rousey was Becky. You know, they did not care about Ronda Rousey. And, I mean, just imagine you're out there and you've just worked so hard and no one cares that you're into this. So, and you're supposed to be the baby face in the match.
So is that the promo we hear from Ronda?
That's a great promo, but then there's Nia.
And that
doesn't work.
No, it
so it's confusing on the Raw side.
It's confusing in a lot of ways. I mean, I guess the heel and babyface thing nowadays, it's always so much more blurred. But the more distinct the sides are, the better it works, even in this day and age, I think.
Let's go back to the phones here for a quick bit before we hit the top of the hour and speak with Dave Meltzer. And it is going to be Rob from New Jersey. Rob, you want to talk about Enzo tonight?
I apologize for every New Jerseyan that is privileged with not only but still, dude, that was horrible. I mean, dude, he literally pulled Shane Douglas tonight.
It was it's just so sad.
It is. It's really sad.
Yeah, because I'm like, dude, if you bought a ticket, first of all, I hope you did not. You wasted your money, bro. Just probably because here's the thing: what a lot of people don't know, 40 minutes after he got kicked out, he promoted, like, his new album or his new single or whatever the heck about. It's called Rosemary, I think, which allegedly is about Liv Morgan.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And, yeah, it's some weird stuff, man. I mean, like, it didn't take anything away from me as far as the show, personally. But it was just one of the weirdest things, because he comes dressed up almost in his gimmick, except it's not his actual old school t-shirt. He says, I'm doing great, or whatever the heck it is. It's some odd stuff, man.
Also, why decide to do your little publicity stunt during a dead tag match? Is that because it was a dead match and he thought he'd capitalize on no one wanting to watch the match? Because to me, it's an awkward point of the card to do this.
To be fair, and I can't believe I'm saying this, but honestly, it was a dead build show in terms of the build. But other than the matches, you know, again, personally for me, and I know everybody says, oh my gosh, Charlotte and Rousey. I mean, I liked it too, but personally my favorite match was Seth and Nakamura.
Really? Yeah, why so? Yeah. That fell dead in us watching it
here.
Yeah,
I didn't like that match at all.
I mean, personally, just for me, just only because, first of all, as far as my memory, I don't ever see both of them ever, like, you know, tagging it up at all. And it just felt like, you know, nice for me. I mean, unfortunately, and this is probably the reason why I didn't like the Rousey Charlotte as much as that was, probably because my live stream literally screwed up, and every time it just kept on going on and off until I saw the result of the last moments with Charlotte in the chair. So I was kind of like bombazzled trying to figure out what was going on.
Okay, well, you had it ruined then, Rob.
Yeah,
you can't judge.
Exactly. That's kind of tough to judge when you didn't actually see the match.
I have to watch it back. I have to be honest.
All right. Well, yeah. Rob, you watch it back. You call us when we're back live again, and you tell us that clearly you have misjudged the matches here tonight, because, yeah, there's really no comparison. You know, I want to keep liking Nakamura, but he's been placed in the mid-card so poorly here, and another bad showing tonight. Also, what is with the SmackDown champion just nailing people in the balls? Now Daniel Bryan is doing it as well. Nakamura did it.
Right.
What? I guess Nakamura didn't win, right? It was AJ who had it, or maybe he, I can't remember. But Nakamura had that gimmick. Now AJ's doing the same gimmick. It's such cheap heat.
It is. It's really cheap heat. And again, when you have more than one guy doing the same thing, it's like when you watch a pay-per-view and the finish for all the matches is the same. It's no good.
Well,
I blame Road Dog.
Well, people always say that.
On every match.
Thanks for the call, Rob. We have got to take a break. We are going to come back. Dave Meltzer is going to join us to chat about tonight's show, along with that, why the mix and match happened tonight on Daniel Bryan. And, hey, where's Lars going? We'll ask Meltz when we come back. It is Sunday night's main event. You're listening to it on TSN Radio.
The world of MLW Radio never stops.
Well, that's hour one of Sunday night's main event, and each and every week, hour two includes the Wrestling Observer Insider with Dave Meltzer, turnbuckle trivia, feedback, and often the triple threat is in the second hour as well. If you'd like to hear it, just visit patreon.com/SNMEradio and become a patron. Contributions start for as little as $4 a month. And that also includes our patron-exclusive podcast that I often mention on the show. Once again, patreon.com/SNMEradio.